You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, the Jaguars decide on a GM, and it's a very familiar face. Trent Baalke is named the GM of the Jacksonville Jaguars in Urban Meyer's first year. This is Tony Wiggins with your Jacksonville Jaguars report here on Locked On Jaguars. And I have to tell you, today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off your next order. The Jags are continuing to build their team, not only with coaching and assistance, but Trent Baalke. It's a very, very important hire for a number of reasons. The main reason being the continuity that has to take place between the coach, the GM, and the owner. And while I was a favor of the clean slate and was not a particular favorite, Trent Baalke wasn't a particular favorite choice of mine. I liked some other guys, particularly Rick Smith and Jerry Reese. However, this all made a little bit more sense when we found out that Urban Meyer and Trent Baalke have a long relationship and a good relationship. So what it is it's that one person that has a good relationship with Urban Meyer that's been a long-time relationship and already has an existing relationship with Shad Khan. So when you look at it from that perspective, I think, you know, it's acceptable. And Trent Baalke has a pretty good resume as a GM. You know, the only thing is you heard that he wasn't easy to get along with. I've heard that from a number of people and a number of articles that I've read. But, you know, just because you don't get along with certain people doesn't mean that you can't get along with other people, you know. In fact, you know, the fact that Urban Meyer and Baalke have a long relationship actually makes me think it's a pretty good idea. And that's something that I didn't know. And I always talk about the things that you don't know and the people that you don't know that, you know, a coach, and in this case, Urban Meyer, you don't know the guys that he knows in the game and guys that he has relationships. Not everything is put out there like Doug Marrone and Bill O'Brien are good friends or Jimbo Fisher and Will Muschamp are good friends. Not everything is always made, given to us to be consumed. And these guys just at this high level, they just have relationships that we just don't know about. You know, there are a lot of, like I said on yesterday's podcast, there are a lot of people I know that people don't know what I don't know, you know, and you know, for around the league. So the thing that we all have to be careful of is sort of building this dream team in our own mind, because it's fun, because it gives you a chance to try to understand the direction and understand the course that's going to happen for your team, because you're really, really excited. All of that's fun to try to figure out what coaches and who a coach is going to bring. But in a way, it's almost narcissistic and weird. And I'll say that it's almost narcissistic and weird for us who aren't involved, who don't have to go to work every single day with the person and have the relationship that's required to be more than just functional, but to be really good at what you do. And we're just sitting back cherry picking going, oh, he needs this coach and he needs that coach. How do we know? We don't. I guess if I was in Urban shoes or anybody's shoes, that would drive me a little bit crazy, because that's like somebody telling you who you need to be married to when they're not the ones that have to live with them. And you don't really know whether or not people think alike. First of all, you don't even know, really, outside of what Urban's told you and how he wants to play, no one knows how they're going to pull it off, how they're functionally going to administer all of the things that they want to do as a program. We really don't. And it's weird that, you know, we sometimes try to tell or say who we think works best with him, for his mission, when really, we actually don't have, and I'm talking about me too, we actually don't have a leg to stand on, or we have no right to say so to determine who a guy needs to have on his staff. He knows that. He's the coach. He's the expert. He's the guy that has been put in this position. Now, it doesn't mean we can't question things as they move along, because the last administration chose their guys. Doug Marrone went down fighting for and with Todd Walsh, right? When it's not working, you can be critical, and you can wonder why, you know, you want to keep going. And you know why you want to keep going if you're Doug? Because Doug's fired. That's what guys that lose their jobs, they lose their jobs because they make certain decisions. But when you're trying to look ahead with a program builder like Urban, I would be remiss, and I would have to take a pause and step back when I start questioning decisions that they make. Now, what happened yesterday, this is Urban Meyer's team. This is, and not only with the players and the coaches, this is his vision and his direction, and that lines up with Shad's vision and Shad's direction. So you can best believe that Urban Meyer believes that Trent Baalke is someone he's familiar with and understands the way that he wants to operate and is willing to do that. And maybe Trent Baalke did learn from the past with the Jim Harbaugh situation the last time he was with another alpha male coach with a big, you know, a big personality and a big stamp on the way things should go. And that fell apart and that fell out. Maybe you learn. You know, people don't always make the same mistakes over and over again. Maybe being out of the game or being not a guy who's out in front of things the way that he was, maybe he realizes he has to do things a little bit differently now. And this is a totally different situation. So the plus is that you get a guy that is familiar, independently familiar with both the coach and the owner. The other plus is you get a guy who has been competent as a GM and knows how to build something from nothing. The 49ers were a very, very talented team. Now, it doesn't mean that he hit on all of his draft picks, because he didn't, but he did hit on, enough of them, and he understood how to go out and get the type of players for the culture of Jim Harbaugh, and I think he'll have the same opportunity to do that here with Urban Meyer. I want to get into the thing that I was just talking about, how sometimes we believe we can pick coaches for people, you know, and why it's important that no matter what you've been through, you got to sort of, you're either going to trust the process or you're not, right? You can be skeptical, but you're either going to buy in and trust the process, because that's what Urban's asking the players to do. And I think he sort of wants the fans to do the same thing. And, you know, fans are going to fan, and we're going to tweet, and we're going to do all of this stuff, and we're going to Facebook, and we're going to talk, because that's kind of just what we do. But I'm going to warn you a little bit about putting too much energy into that, and why sometimes it comes across as really like fan and even me, media-type arrogance, that sometimes, you know, we believe we know more than the people that are actually put in place to do whatever it is that they do. So I'll hit that for you in segment number two here on a Wednesday edition of Locked On Jaguars. You're one of a kind, and so are your taxes. That's why TurboTax has live experienced tax experts who are ready to listen to you, learn about your unique tax situation, and help you get the best tax outcome. Maybe you're moonlighting as a rideshare driver and have questions about the qualifications for deductions. Maybe you want an expert to walk you through the process, since most of your income last year came from freelance jobs. Or maybe you'd like to hand the whole tax filing process off to an expert. That sounds good to me. While you perfect your banana bread recipe, whether you want to file with the help of an expert or let an expert do the filing for you, TurboTax Live tax experts are here to help you, giving you the confidence to know that you're one of a kind uniquely, and your taxes are the same, and they will be done correctly. Intuit TurboTax Live. This episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring launched exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. All right, moving right along on the Wednesday edition of Locked On Jaguars, talking about coaching and how Urban Meyer is adding to his staff. It was reported that Urban Meyer would be interviewing Raheem Morris. I don't know if that interview ever occurred, but Raheem Morris has been announced as the defensive coordinator for the Los Angeles Rams, taking over for Coach Staley, who got the job as the head coach for the Los Angeles Chargers. So we can mark that one off and start looking forward to who else is going to be involved. Joe Cullen has been mentioned, and I don't know what role that is. And then there's the passing game coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens. I also don't know what that is, what role that is for. But Chris Ash has been talked about as coming over from Texas. So we'll see. We'll see as Urban continues to get his staff together. I think more than anything, what's important is that he's going to do what's comfortable for him. He's going to do what he believes needs to happen. He's going to give the players the best coaches that they can have. But he also has to do that under the influence of the fact that he's got to build a staff that knows what he wants to do and that can relay the message that he wants to get to the players and guys that have a track record of player development and things that blend together. You know, you don't want to not have chemistry in your coaches. And that leads to a little bit of dysfunction when it comes to implementing plans and guys not knowing what they're supposed to do. So I really do think that sometimes things get overblown. I've talked in the past about how us all on social media get all puffed up about alignment, where coaches, and it doesn't mean that alignment is important or is not important, but coaches are more concerned about getting guys to do what they're supposed to do and finding out what guys do well and putting those guys in position to play well and understanding and executing that than they are of how they're going to line a guy up. Because when you're too focused on alignment, like I mentioned earlier, yesterday, that means okay, we're going to line these guys up and then we're going to go find guys that can line up in those positions, where you're being a slave to a shell, as opposed to looking at what you have, finding great players, great football players, and saying, can he do this? Yeah, okay, he can do that, but what does he do well? The Patriots did that for so many years, and that's why they were able to get production out of guys, and those guys leave and go somewhere else, and those guys aren't as productive, because you're asking guys to come into your situation and do things that you haven't seen evidence that they can do well. The Patriots have always been very good at finding out what a guy does well, and then once you identify what that guy does well, you put him in a position to do that and that only, you know. And so I do think it's extremely important to understand that. And I'm going to break that down for you a little bit. So if a guy doesn't do something well, but you put him in that position and try to say, do the best you can, the first person that's going to notice that is the coordinator on the other side of the ball. And they're going to test him. And they're going to try to make him do things that he does not do well. And maybe they have a book on that person too. So the disadvantage is you have a guy in a position that does something, he's doing something that he doesn't do well, and somebody else knows about it. So they're going to exploit it. Now you have to find a way to hide him and cover for him. And then a good coordinator on the other side of the ball is going to actually make you pay for that too. They're going to be like, you can't hide him. And if you try to, we're going to bust you up over here. So the bad philosophy is to say, okay, well, this is what we want to do. He doesn't do it well, but we're going to try him anyway. And when he doesn't, we'll just try to go out and find and replace him with a guy that does know how to do that well. So that's what I mean by being honed in too much on alignment, honed in too much on trying to find somebody to play a certain position like Otto or Leo. You're building your team. You may be taking a lesser football player to build the team to find a guy who can do something specific for you. Now, the other hand is this. You're going to put a guy in a position. You're not going to put him in that position. You're going to find out what he does well, and then you're going to mesh that in with your other 10 players on defense, right? So you find that, and you say, okay, do this. So the other team says, you know what? They don't have. They may notice that you're missing something because, well, they don't have a guy over here doing that. So we're going to try to force them to do this other thing. Well, here's the problem, though. While they're trying to force you to do something that the guy doesn't do well, what that guy's actually doing is he's actually out there doing the thing that he does well. So you're almost making them play defense while they're on offense. You feel me? You're not reacting. You're forcing your will on them while they're trying to force their will on you. And it's a matter of wills. Who's going to win? But at least you have a guy in a position doing what he does well, even though it still might not work, as opposed to having a guy in a position doing something that he does not do well because it's easily exploited by the other team. They're going to try to exploit you either way. But if you're going to try to exploit me, at least you're going to do it running. You're not going to, you're not just going to sit there and just cherry pick me. You're going to do it. And while you're trying to exploit me, I got somebody running at you right now and you ain't got time to be thinking about it. So that then means it's coach versus coach and philosophy versus philosophy, as opposed to coach and bad player versus another coach. And what I mean by bad player is a guy, you have a guy out there who's subpar, but he's the closest thing that you have to being an auto or to being this box safety type. That's what leads you. And I hate to come down on people, but having that sort of tired philosophy is what leads you to draft Jonathan Cyprian in the second round, a specific role. And he wasn't, you drafted him to play the same role as Cam Chancellor. He wasn't even as good as Cam Chancellor. And the Cam Chancellor role was created kind of for Cam Chancellor because Cam Chancellor was great at that thing. You see the point now? You're trying to imitate Cam Chancellor with a player who's not nearly as good as Cam Chancellor, and it shouldn't have been drafted where he was drafted. But you're imitating a position that was basically created for the guy that you're trying to imitate because that guy was good at just that thing what he was doing. And Pete Carroll put him in that position. And then now you need a single high free safety that's as good as Earl Thomas. Good luck. Okay? So you're playing that defense and you're trying to plug guys in, but the defense that you're imitating, those guys weren't plugged in. Those guys played those positions that way because of their unique ability. That's what I want this team to get, and that's what I want the fans to understand. They're going to draft guys for their unique ability, and they're going to pick coaches for their unique ability. So it's difficult for us to really understand how, who, and why, and what coaches that he's going to pick. And we're only looking at resumes, and we're only looking at name value when we don't really understand exactly what it is they want to accomplish and what they're trying to do. So it gets really weird for me when folks say, I don't like this hire, I don't like that. How do you know? How do you know if you don't like it? You don't like it because of the name? You don't like it because of what somebody did at another stop when they're not going to be asked to do that at this stop, at this spot? So I try to be careful when I talk about hiring because we're not the ones that has to live under that roof. We're just the ones who have to watch the results. And you got to trust him. If you believe that he's a program builder and he's a solid football mind, you have to understand that there's a little bit of leeway that comes with it. It doesn't mean you're not going to question it because, like I said, that's what we do. We question stuff. And we create content and we tweet and we talk. But, man, it's almost like in my other profession when I cut people's hair. You got barbers, you got people that all they've gotten haircuts before, but they've never cut somebody's head, that try to tell me how to cut somebody's head. You can't do that. And to me, it's laughable. You got a haircut. Yeah, you're not an expert at cutting hair because you get a haircut every week. You feel me? It's more difficult when you're on the other side of the client. So let's keep going, man. Let's talk about some free agent possibilities. And like I said, it's possibilities and it's all speculation, but that's what we do. And we do it all the time, so no need to stop now. But it's a lot of fun to do that. Also, we're going to take a look around the AFC South to kind of see what's going on and how the additions that the Jaguars can make can actually help propel them for a quicker turnaround than a 1-15 team is supposed to have. We'll do that in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars. If you want to win some money on all of these games that are coming up this weekend, not only ones this weekend, the NBA, college basketball, all of that, and you can get it at betonline.ag. You sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code Locked On for your 50% welcome bonus. That's right. Use the promo code Locked On for your 50% welcome bonus. It's about getting off the sideline, man, and getting into the game. No need for you to sit there with all that knowledge and know what's going on and not being in the right place to actually make it capitalize for you financially. BetOnline.ag is that place. BetOnline.ag for a 50% welcome bonus. Sign up today and use the promo code Locked On. And if you're on social media, and I know most of you are because I know you guys on social media, what you need to do is go to the partners of BetOnline.ag. They're good friends and exclusive partner at BetOnline underscore AG to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account. Use the promo code Locked On for your sign-up bonus. And as we round third base on this Wednesday edition of Locked On Jaguars, I have to remind you guys that we have a great show. That's right, another great show where NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. Brian and Matt give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering all the latest news and insight on every game, team, and move around the NFL. Get your picks, previews, and much more every weekday with Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. The AFC South, everywhere except Jacksonville, looks to be in a little bit of a hot mess situation. The Titans aren't in that much of a hot mess, but they do need a new offensive coordinator because their offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, is now the head coach in Atlanta. Houston needs to figure out what they're going to do with the head coach situation. They did interview Eric Bieniemy. Is that enough to satisfy Deshaun Watson, or is it just too far gone now and you have to move on and figure out how you're going to proceed? In Indy, coach Frank Reich has to find a quarterback because Phillip Rivers retired. Great career by Phillip Rivers, and he's going to be a high school coach in Alabama. So I'm not surprised he didn't do TV. There's a lot of kids. That would mean a lot of more traveling, and maybe he wants to settle down and just do some normal stuff. So every team has a lot of tough decisions that they have to make. The Jaguars have a lot of decisions on their plate as well, but those are all good decisions and additions, and everything that they do from this point will be viewed as it'll be viewed as a positive. So in looking around free agency, I really think it's going to be imperative that the Jaguars attack teams that have salary cap problems. A couple of safeties are available in Minnesota. Minnesota has cap issues. There's a safety available and defensive tackle available for the New Orleans Saints. The Saints have all sorts of issues and in terms of the salary cap. So you have to go after those teams that preliminarily, when you're making your list, you have to assume that maybe Leonard Williams gets tagged. And I know everybody, that's number one on everybody's list, and I know everybody wants Trent Williams also. I don't think the 49ers are in a bad situation in terms of their money, even though they're probably not in a great situation. So some of those players may not be available. So what you have to do if you're the Jaguars, you have to focus on those teams. You have to focus on those teams and those players that play for teams where it's not as likely that they get re-signed. Still get good players, but you have to have that secondary list available just in case guys are not going to be available. And, of course, in a draft, outside of Trevor Lawrence, we're now seeing that this is a very, very good tackle draft. Jim Nagy so much has said so. And Jim Nagy, of course, is in charge of personnel at the Senior Bowl. There are a lot of really good players. This is a good year for you to get you a young left tackle. It really is. So that could probably be in play with either the late first or one of those two early second-round choices. How much does that play into whether or not you keep Cam Robinson? What does Cam Robinson cost? Do you go out and get another veteran that's cost half the money that Cam Robinson cost you and then bring your young guy in? So, therefore, if your young guy beats out the veteran, it doesn't cost you anything, but you still have a nice swing veteran there for $7, $8 million, as opposed to paying a guy a one-year deal for $15 million, knowing that you've drafted his replacement. What if you do that and then the young kid is better than Cam Robinson out the gate, right? This is what I'm talking about. You got to get past names you know and familiar names and just go with the talent. I'm not one that says you can't have a rookie left tackle with a rookie quarterback. I don't believe that. I don't believe that any more than I think you can have a rookie left tackle guarding a franchise quarterback or Aaron Rodgers or anybody else. It just doesn't make much sense to me to think that way. But, yeah, man, think about it. Think about it. You know, a lot of times when folks want to spend a lot of time and energy tweeting me, asking me, what do you feel about this? What do you feel about that? It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we don't have to. We're not the ones in the building doing the work. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. The only thing that makes it fun is it kind of gives you a hint at the direction based on a certain track record, or it gives you a hint as to the personality of the ball club. But to know, to think that I can, as a dude that does podcasts or radio or whatever, can sit here and have more input and talk about whether or not Urban Meyer is hiring the right guy, I'm not qualified to do that. I'm not. I can have an opinion based on the things I've seen, but I just say give it a shot. Give it a shot. And I'll give the relationship that he has with Balky, I'll give that a shot too, even though I did not think that that was the direction they would go, because I was a clean slate guy. And some may argue that Balky isn't really a part of the last regime, because maybe he was indifferent to the way a lot of things were done. He wasn't here from the very beginning. Might that have had something to do with Dave Caldwell leaving or being fired instead of waiting till the end of the year? That Shad wanted to take a look at Balky and how Balky was able to run the organization. I don't know. And maybe he passed that test. You have to ask them, man, but you can stay tuned to us every single day here on Locked On Jaguars, because it's your team every day, and you can subscribe wherever you get podcasts. Until tomorrow, take care, you guys.